Mesechs Ausprek, Dalim Shnechafen, Tulprek, Hemish Na'alef. Elisha ben Avuya was one of the leading Talmidei Chachamim of his generation for the first half of his life, but unfortunately, towards the end of his life, he became an apikores and he denied certain basic aspects of a Jew's belief. And the Gemara describes the whole story at length. He became known as Acher, which literally means the other one. Other, to signify the fact that he no longer followed the straight path of Torah. Be as it may, his life story parallels the statement which he's going to say in this Mishnah very interestingly. Halomid Yeled, one who teaches a child, Lamahu Doimet, what is that comparable? Lidyoiksval Niyar Chodosh. It's like ink being written on new parchment, which has been processed and is totally new, it's very easy to write on. And so too, when one teaches a younger child, he remembers it much better. The ink is written there very clearly. It gets absorbed properly, and the same applies when one teaches a child. On the other hand, when one teaches somebody who is older, to what is that comparable? It's like ink being written on parchment which has been rubbed out. That somebody had written something on the parchment, but they rubbed it out, and now he's writing on top of that rubbed out parchment. Of course, it's harder to write on there, and the ink will not appear as clearly. I actually came across a fascinating line in the Noda B'Yehuda, who lived 150, 200 years ago, and in one of his tshuvas, one of his long pieces, in Even HaEzer, Siman Chaf, he has a line there about how he writes that he learned a particular sugya, a particular part of the Gemara, in one specific way, when he was much younger, and right now, as he was relearning it, he wanted to suggest that perhaps the explanation of that Gemara is slightly different to how he had originally learned it. However, he concludes that he does not want to build a new understanding of that Gemara, even though right now it seems that is perhaps more correct, because he writes, Masha bonisi bialdusi le ester beziknusi. That which I built in my younger age, I will not demolish in my older age, ki oz bialdusi hoya iuni yoser chozak etzli. Because back then, in my younger age, my ability to explore and go deeper into the concepts of the Torah was stronger than it is now. So you see, literally, that the Noda B'Yehuda took this Mishnah literally, and even by the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, of course, as they get older, they go deeper and increase their knowledge and depth of Torah. However, their ability to delve deeper and clarify certain concepts was greater when they are younger. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda Ishkfar Bavli Omer, Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, the man who lived in the village of Bavli, the Babylonian village, he led the people over there, and he says the following related teaching, but this time he's talking about Halomid Minaktanim, one who learns from children, Lamahu Doimer. To what is this comparable? The Oicha Novim Kehois, it's like one who eats underdeveloped grapes, the Shosa Yain Migitoi, and who drinks wine from its wine press before it's been developed and processed properly, and of course it's going to taste quite bitter. It could be that the child himself, when he learns younger, he's able to absorb it quicker, but his lack of experience in learning, and his lack of a broad knowledge of learning, means that he's certainly not ready to teach others, and one who is seeking to learn Torah should learn it from people who have a greater experience of Torah. On the other hand, one who learns from people who are older, what is that comparable? To one who eats grapes which have been properly ripened, and who drinks aged wine, which is of course far better quality, and when it comes to learning is much more reliable. Now interestingly, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe argues, and Rebbe says, other Mishnayos read Rebbe Meir over here, be as it may, he argues and he says, no, altisakel bakankan, don't look at the barrel, at the external facts of his age, rather look at what is inside of the barrel. There's such a thing as a new barrel which is full of aged wine, very good quality wine. And so too, you can have a young person who is already a huge Talmud Chacham who it's worth learning from. And on the other hand, there are certainly old barrels that don't even have new wine inside of them. There's such a thing as an empty old barrel, and so too, there's such a thing as an older person who is totally empty of Torah, and it's not worth learning from. So when you're deciding who you're going to appoint as your Rebbe, as the person to teach you Torah, don't base it on the external given facts on the table, of how old he is, but explore and try and experiment how much Torah does he actually know, and learn Torah from him if indeed it is fit. Mishnah Chafalef, Rabbi Elazar Kapper, Omer Rabbi Elazar Kapper says, Hakina, jealousy, v'ataiva, and lust, a constant desire for physical, material pleasures, v'akovoid, and the constant pursuit of honor, b'tzienes adam in olam, bring a person out of the world. And the Rambam explains this to mean both olam hazeh, this world, and olam haba, the world to come. Firstly, these middos can cause one to do many averas, in which case he would diminish his share in the world to come. But not only that, it also brings you out of this world. Somebody who hasn't worked on the middah of being jealous of others will always see others as doing better than him, and he'll never be pleased with what he has, because he'll always be looking at the neighbor and saying that he has better than me. And the same goes for somebody who hasn't worked on his physical desires. He'll constantly be looking for more and never be pleased with what he has, and very often it will lead him to do averas. The one who is full of lust, it doesn't even have a good life in this world. And the same goes for one who is constantly looking after his honor and trying to increase his honor and important position. And that's all he cares about. So as soon as anybody does anything to go against him or doesn't give him enough honor, he gets angry and he's never pleased. So even in this world, he ends up having a unenjoyable experience, let alone Olam Haba, which he could certainly put at risk if he does not work on these three attributes. You know, we're used to thinking that the more one focuses on spirituality and Torah and mitzvahs, so the more he sort of needs to give up on certain physical enjoyments. And we're used to thinking that if somebody leads a more religious life in this world, so at least in the next world he'll be rewarded for it. It's true in this world, perhaps he'll enjoy it a bit less, but you know what? The next world is greater, and in the next world he'll be rewarded. But we're seeing something in this Mishnah that it's totally, totally not true. One who lives a life of Torah and mitzvahs in this world ends up having the best, most enjoyable life in this world. Bringing up a frum family, escaping from so many of the today's world's problems of relationships, people who don't work on themselves, and they go with their natural state of having lust and jealousy and seeking honor. Naturally, that's what a person has in himself. And if you look at the world, people who don't work on growing themselves and striving to become people closer to Hashem, so see what problems everybody gets themselves into. The one who has a focus in life on growing and building himself into somebody with good character traits, somebody who wants to grow and become closer to Hashem and more similar to Hashem, and that's what his focus in life is. So he escapes all those problems, and in this world, he has a more enjoyable life. Belozar Kapo is talking about in this world. If you don't choose to work on yourself, then in this world, you're going to have a miserable time. Reb Chaim Brisker famously said that there's a concept of Yisachar and Zevulun, where one who supports Torah possibly gets the same reward, or he gets a share in the reward of the person who he supports in learning. And Reb Chaim Brisker would famously say, that, you know what, it could be that for the reward in Olam Haba in the next world, it's going to be shared out equally between the person who learns and the person who supports him. It could be half-half. But this world, in this world, the one who is only supporting the Torah will never have the geschmack, will never have the enjoyment of sleeping on a bench in the Beis HaMedrash, of learning a geschmack of Tosfos. The enjoyment in this world of living a Torah life, and look around. And those who do live a Torah life full of Hashem and Torah and mitzvahs, and you'll see they're not giving up on any enjoyment of this world. They're just prioritizing other things, which lead to a far more enjoyable and fulfilling life, even in this world. Mishnah Chaf Beis, Hu Ya'imer, Rabbi Elazar Kapper would say, Hayloidim Lomos, those who have been born are destined to die, V'Amesim L'Hachyais, and those who are dead are destined to come back to life at the time of Tchias Amesim, when Moshiach comes and everybody will be revived and come back to life, v'achayim lidayin, and those who are still alive are destined to give judgment once everybody dies. They'll need to give an accounting for every single good thing and every single bad deed which they ever did. And anybody who is alive needs leida to know, lohidia to let others know, olehivoda and to make it totally known in the entire world, shehu kel, that Hashem is the God, hu ayetzer. He is the one who formed and continues to form the entire world. Hu Abayre, he is the one who creates the entire world. At the beginning of time, he created the world from absolute nothing. Hu Amevin, he understands absolutely everything. every deed that anybody ever does, the reason why he did it, the situation in which he is in, and when we will be judged at the end of our lives, who are dying? He, Hashem, is the one who will judge us, who aid. He's also the witness. Who baldin, he's also the one who's making the claim in the court. Vahu asid lodun, and he in the future will be the one to judge. Baruch Hu, blessed is he, she'en lefonav le'avla. No wrong judgment exists in front of him, v'le shikra, nor forgetfulness, v'le masifonim. No favoritism, v'lo mikach sheichad, and no bribery. Of course, everything belongs to Hashem. With what are you going to bribe him? She'akol shaloi, because everything belongs to him. The Rambam and the Baruch Nura actually explain that part of this idea of Hashem not taking any bribery is that we're going to be punished for every single aver which we do, and we're going to be rewarded for every single mitzvah that we do. And Hashem isn't, so to speak, bribed by a particular mitzvah not to give us punishment for a different avera. No, for every single avera that we do, we're going to be punished. For every single mitzvah that we do, we're going to be rewarded. And they don't cancel each other out. Hashem takes account of every single act that was ever done. V'da, and you should know, sha'kol lefi acheshba, in that it's all according to the accounting and the calculation. Because Hashem takes into account every single avera, so somebody can do many small averas, but they get combined together, each one adding on to the other avera, until one is deserving of a very large punishment. And the same goes for mitzvahs, of course. Another explanation of this part of the Mishnah is that Hashem takes into account all of the circumstances and everything that led one to doing that avera or that mitzvah. He takes that into account when giving the reward or the punishment. Don't let your Yetzirah convince you and promise you that the grave is a place to flee and that there'll be nothing after you die from this world. There's no reward or punishment, you don't have to worry about the next world. That is not the case. Velos HaKapa now says something quite scary. You are created against your will. Rashi here and the Baruch Nura explain that when the Neshama is taken from Shamayim, from the heavens where it is, next to the Kisei HaKavod, the throne, Hashem's throne of glory, and Hashem tells that Neshama, it's now your turn to go down into this world. You're going to go into the mother's womb and become part of a child who's going to be in this world. The Neshama doesn't want to go. Hashem has to force the Neshama to go. And then even once that Neshama is in the mother's womb, it doesn't want to be born and go out into the real world. The Gemara says that during the months of pregnancy, a personal malach teaches the fetus all of the Torah. You think that baby and the Neshama, especially if the baby would want to go out into the world. And so, V'al-Karach At-Noilad, against your will, you're forced to be born. V'al-Karach At-Chai, and against your will, at certain points in your life, it's against your will that you're alive. You receive suffering, and you feel like you don't want to be alive. V'al-Karach At-Mes. But at the end of the day, when you end up dying, it's against your will. Nobody wants to die if they really search themselves. When somebody's on their deathbed, they wish that they would be alive, perhaps in a different situation, but there is a natural instinct which every human being has for survival. And ends of Rabbi Elazar Kapor, V'al Karchach Ata Osed Litidin V'cheshbein. Against your will, you in the future will need to give an accounting, Lifnei Melech, Malchei HaMelochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of the King, who is the King of all Kings, Hashem. And that's certainly a very scary day, which should really motivate us to only keep mitzvahs and to distance ourselves from sinning. If we ever think about that scary day, we'll have to give an accounting for everything we ever did. We've now reached the end of the fourth perek of Pirkei Avos, and it's interesting that the first two perekim of the Masechta, their main focus of the teachings which are within those Mishnayos, are far more focused on bin odom lachaveiroi, on how one should act towards others. Whereas the next two perekim, Perek Gimel and Perek Dalad, the third and fourth perekim, the vast majority of those Mishnayos are not necessarily focused on how to behave towards others, but rather a general approach to life. There were many Mishnayos about learning Torah, the importance of keeping mitzvahs. That was really the main focus of these two perekim. The fifth perek of Pirkei Avos, interestingly, is less full of lessons of how to act as a Jew. Even though much of it is, and even from the Mishnayos, where at first glance this is not the message, many messages can be drawn from all of these Mishnayos. Nevertheless, most of the perek is set out in patterns of numbers. There'll be a few Mishnayos which discuss things which there are 10 of. Then we'll go to lists of 4, lists of 7, as we are going to see. Be'atzmei, the perek begins, Ba'asura ma'amoris nivra ha'olam, the world was created with 10 sayings of Hashem. In Parshas Bereishis, when talking about the creation of the world, the Torah writes, Vayomer Elohim, that Hashem said, it writes this 9 times, And as well as that, the words Bereishis Bara Elokim, that Hashem created the first physical existence, that itself is also considered to be another saying of Hashem, and thus the world was created with 10 sayings. And the way we're going to understand this is that when Hashem says something that's really an expression of Hashem's desire, and there's a deep idea being expressed over here, that there are sort of 10 levels of revelation and how clear Hashem's desire is in this world. This world, Olam Hazeh, is really there to hide Hashem's total revelation. The word Olam, world, comes from the word Helem, which means something which is hidden. This physical world hides a lot of Hashem's full revelation and glory. And these 10 sayings are somewhat 10 levels of how hidden or revealed Hashem is. And of course, it's a very deep idea, which is certainly beyond the scope of this shir. Now, the Mishnah continues that, what is this coming to teach us? The world was able to be created with just one saying. Why did Hashem split it into 10? Rather, it's in order to exact punishment from wicked people who destroy the world, which was created with 10 sayings. And to be able to give greater reward to tzaddikim, to the righteous people, that via their keeping of the Torah and mitzvahs, they are keeping the world going. In the merit of their Torah and mitzvahs, that's what keeps the world going. And they'll receive greater reward because they're keeping a world which is created with 10 sayings going. There's more significance given to the world because of the fact that it was created with 10 sayings of Hashem, 10 revelations of His will, and that is a reason to give more reward to the righteous people who keep that world going.